This is an interview with Assunta Giovannini, whose family name was Tonelato. The date is the 15th of July, 2010, and the interview is recorded at her home in Kidman Park by Madeline Regan, and it's part of the Italian Market Gardeners Project. Well, thank you, Assunta, for agreeing to this interview.
You're welcome.
And we're going to start with your background and some information about your parents,
right,
and then your aunt and uncle.
Right.
So you might like to tell me, first of all, about your parents.
Well, my parents...
They were born in...
Oh, right, yes, my parents were born in Italy. And now I was adopted by the Tonelatos when I was 3 months old, and I was born a Panisolo. And when I was born, my mother died, and my uncle adopted me, and I was raised with the Tonelato family.
Right.
So
so your mother's name, if you
was,
can...
Yes, my mother's name was Tonelato.
Yeah.
And she came here in 1936. 36, and was married here, and went to Broken Hill, and she married my father, or they married here in Adelaide, I think.
And how old would your mother have been when she...
She would have been about 33 and 35, I'm not sure the exact date, how old she was when she got married, but she came over here, and she brought over my two stepbrothers as... what would you call it, as she was like a carer for them when they came over on the boat. And when she got here, then she married my father. And when I was born, she died in Broken Hill. At that time, there was no, medical. If had she been here in Adelaide, she would have been probably still alive. But and it was just a big country town. So when she died, then my uncle decided he would keep me. He had five children of his own.
And your uncle's name was?
Tonelato.
And his name was Secondo?
Yes, that's right.
And your auntie was?
Elisabetta.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And just going back to your mother, what was her name?
Assunta.
Assunta.
Yes. Tonelato.
Tonelato. And
she married a Vittorio Panisolo.
Right.
And that was my birth name when I was born. But then later on in the years, I changed my name to Tonelato.
Right.
Yes.
So I think that you told me that your uncle went to collect you
yes,
from Broken Hill.
Yes, he went to collect me from Broken Hill because at the time children or babies weren't allowed to travel on the train until they were 3 months old. So he told my father, well, it's no good adopting her out because my father had two teenage sons and he couldn't, you know, worry about a baby. What was he going to do? So... And my uncle said, well, we'll keep her. We've got five children of our own and we'll keep her. So he had to wait 3 months to go to Broken Hill to collect me. But then in the meantime, a family in Broken Hill took me for 3 months, Carmela Torizang, and she got very friendly with my uncle and then we always kept in touch. She looked after me for 3 months. And then my uncle came and collected me with the train, because babies weren't allowed to travel until they were a certain age, I suppose, in those days. I don't know why. And then I was raised with the Tonelato family.
So this, the year that we're talking about, the year of your birth was 1937.
Seven.
And what date were you born?
The 20th of April, 1937. And I think my mother died. It was complication from a cesarean section, and I think at that time, like, you know, they wouldn't have had too many medical in Broken Hill. It was just a big country town, so that's all I know about that. And that's it. Then I came to Adelaide to live as a baby.
And can you just tell me a little bit about the Tonelato family?
Well, the Tonelato family, go back when I was 4 or 5, I remember, you know, this we're big family, and next door to us that we were all living together was the Piovesons. And we sort of all grew up together with Nidlo, Dino and Bruno. We were like all brothers and sisters.
And this was on the land?
This was on the land at well, now it's Kidman Park, but I think then it was St. James Park, or and the road that we were staying, we were between, it was then River Road and Frogmore Road, but Frogmore Road at that time, there was really no access to get to Frogmore Road, so we lived in a dirt track from River Road in the middle between River Road, which is now Findon Road, and Frogmore Road.
And there was something interesting about the house, wasn't there?
Well, the house, well, we lived in a train, and this, it was actually, it just wasn't a train, this was, it belonged to the King's, the King George V, I think it was his brother, in 1935 he came here, and they had this carriage that they brought him and his wife here, and my uncle decided he's going to buy it when his family arrived, and it was really fitted out, beautiful, it wasn't just the train. And the early years of that I don't remember, but I was told that we, Mum used to cook in the train, and my uncle, and we all slept, we all had our little compartments, and then eventually, just not very far from the train, my uncle built, they were really cow sheds they were at the time, and they came available, so my uncle decided that he's going to use them as a kitchen where my auntie could cook, and we'd eat there and then just sleep in the train, which was all very nice. We were all had our bunks and our own little rooms, and the corridor was all on the side, you know, so it was quite good, really. I remember that. And no, that was good, that.
And inside, can you remember what it looked like, the carriage?
Yes, the carriage inside had these little pull-down seats. So as you walked on the corridor, they had these little seats that you could pull down, and you'd sit outside your room, which at the time we only had my auntie put up a curtain, but it was beautiful inside. They had all these embossed mirrors, and it was, you know, really a beautiful carriage. And we used to cook in the beginning of the first room was a very big room, and my auntie would cook there, and then the other rooms we'd had a bathroom. And all these little rooms that we'd all boys would sleep, and I'd sleep with my sister Rosina, and then eventually we got that we used to eat in this other department and just cross the courtyard more or less, and we'd go there to sleep.
And in the carriage, when your mother was cooking, was there a stove?
Yes, they had a wooden stove there, and my uncle built the chimney. And it was decked out really like a proper little home. You know, it was decked out really properly.
Mm-hmm. And you called the Tonelato boys and girl your brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And
yes.
How much younger were you?
Well, the youngest was Orlando, and he was 10 years different in age than me. Like, he was born in 27 and I was born in 37, and the others were all... Louis and Albert was, Rosina was about 14 years different. Louis would have been about 15. But the youngest one, Orlando, he was 10 years difference from me.
And you also grew up, as you said, with the Piovesan family.
That's right.
Were they more your age?
Yes. Bruno and I were born the same year, 37. And Dino and Nidla was just 1 year and 2 years older. And we all grew up like brothers and sisters, you know. We used to, it was a milking shed that was converted after that Dino and Bruno's father converted into a kitchen and a bedroom. And my uncle did on his side, he just did that we had the cooking and the eating section, you know, on that part. But that was quite interesting too. And the boys we grew up, we all used to go to school together, and it was... very interesting.
Where did you go to school, Asunta?
Well, at the time, now it's called Flinders Park, but it was called Underdale in those days. It was on Holbrooks Road.
Did you get there?
By bike. I remember Dino and Nidlo used to, what they call donkey on the bike, you know, and Bruno. We used to go to the school, and we'd cross all market gardens, like from where we were, in between Frogmore Road and Findon Road, we used to go down the dirt track, And then we'd cross over the Ballestrins land and Jarman's. They all had their land there. They were all market gardens, the Zarellas and the Burnos. They were all there. And the school was actually situated on Holbrooks Road.
So that would have been quite a trip.
Well, yes, it was. We would take about 15, 20 minutes by bike. But you'd cross all through. It was a shortcut, really, crossing through the market gardens, all dirt tracks and that. But everybody knew everybody, and then it was quite good. Or the Ballestrins would wave out when we'd go past on bike. And then with Frankie's sister, Santina, I was very friendly with her too. And we'd all go to the same school. That was about the only school that was closest to here, you know.
And so you would have started in year, you know, reception or...?
Well, I think then you had to be five. Five or six, I'm not quite sure. No, I think it was five. Yes, yeah, they didn't have, grade one. We used to call it grade one. That was.
And did you do all your primary school
yes,
there?
Yes, right to grade seven. And then from there, I went to St. Joseph's at Highmarsh. Yes.
Right. And how would you have got to
St. Joseph, we used to catch the tram. There was a tram that used to, we'd catch the tram. I can't remember if I, the tram used to stop at Flinders Park, on the corner of Crittenton Road, and I think we used to ride our bikes, well, I did, because that was only a girls' school. No, it wasn't. It was a boy and girls' school. Dino and Nidlo, I don't remember where they went to school, but I know I went to St. Joseph's, and I used to ride my bike to Crittenton Road, leave the bike there, then catch the tram and go to Highmarsh. That's how we, because even when we went into the city in those days, we'd ride our bikes to Henley Beach Road, and we'd just put the bikes up against a fence and catch the tram, it was in those days, and then you'd come back, the bike would be still there, even after 2 weeks, and then you'd just and get your bike and come home, and that's how we did. We travelled everywhere with our bikes.
And would you have gone into the city very often?
Well, yes. In the city, I think, if I remember, with my uncle and auntie, we used to go visiting, because then in those days, everyone went visiting. And we used to have a horse and a buggy. And I remember the Sundays, Sunday afternoons, when they didn't have much work in the garden, we would visit, we'd go to Hindley Street that my uncle and auntie had all their paisanis there. And I had my uncle and auntie Bailetti that lived in Hindley Street. So we'd be on the horse and buggy and off we'd go. And that was our Sunday outing. So as far as anything else, I can't remember too much about the shopping part. But as I got a bit older, I remember that my sister then, I had a lot of problems with my ears at the time. And I had to go to the doctor a lot. And I remember that was in North Terrace. So we'd go to this family we knew in Hindley Street, and then my sister would take me to the doctor, and then on the way back, we'd stop at this family's place, and my uncle would pick us up. At that stage there, he had a truck that he used to go to market with. So that was our outings to the city. But I remember the city in those years, you know.
And what did it look like? What do you remember?
Well, yes, I remember that Hindley Street. I remember it was where the Bailettis had their shop. My uncle had he was a gunsmith, and he used to repair guns. And he had a bike shop, and he had bikes and fixed things up. And my auntie Bailetti, they would live at the back of the shop.
And these were your aunt and uncle related to your
my father? Yes, right. Yes. My Mrs. Bailetti was my father's sister. And then Hindley Street at that stage, the West End, there would be all little houses there, all little townhouses, or not really townhouses, but they were all inner city living. And a lot of my uncle and auntie's paisani would be all living in Hindley Street, most of them at the time. And then there was the corner of Morfitt Street, where there was a big grocery shop. At that time it was called the Star Grocer. And at the other end of Hindley Street, towards West Terrace, there was another big grocery shop called Rosetto. And they used to all the Italian families or the market gardeners here would do all their shopping at this Rosseto family, and on their way home from market, and I remember that they'd stop there and pick up all their groceries because there wasn't supermarkets or anything like that in those.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Yeah.
I remember that. Used to have a violet crumble on the way home. They were very hard to get. They were very precious.
Because you would have grown up in the war years.
Yes, yes.
And do you remember anything from that time about the war? Or?
No, I don't. All I remember is that was my uncle and auntie and the whole family, when the war broke out, they had to go to Woodville to report to the police station. I don't know what they were. I don't know if they were naturalised at the time or not. Maybe, I'm not sure. But I know that every week they'd get on their horse and buggy and the whole family would go to the Woodville police station, and they all had to report to the Woodville police station because of the war, you know, with the Italians and the English at that time.
And Assunta, going back to the information that you gave about your father and your mother, and your father agreeing for your mother's brother,
yes,
family to raise you, was there any kind of consequences for that later on?
Yes, there was. I remember when I was about seven, at that time my father just, when I was born at that time, my father just said, well, to my uncle, you can take her, you know, she's your sister's daughter and we'll look after her. And at that time there, my father at that time, I think, went to Alice Springs because a lot of the Italians were working in the mica fields. And when he came back, he lived with his sister, which is Mrs. Bailetti in Hindley Street, and he decided he wanted his daughter back.
And how old would his sons have been at that time?
They would have been, one of them was about 12 years older than me, and the other one would have been about 15, Oscar and Oreste was his name, they used to call him Oscar, and Attilio. I think it was about a 12-year and 15-year difference, something like that, I'm not quite sure. And he said to my uncle, well, now, he said, I'll have my daughter back. And my uncle said, well, where are you going to put her? And he said, well, he said, we've got a place there in North Terrace because most of the Italians live there. And he was in a boarding house at the time.
And how old would you, did you say?
I think I was seven. If I remember rightly, seven or eight. It could have been, say around seven or eight. I'm not sure, six, seven, eight, something. No, it wasn't even eight, seven, six or seven. And so they asked me if I want to go to live with my father. And I said, no, I didn't want to go. I said, he was just the man that came down on Sundays to visit. Like, he did keep in touch every now and then on Sundays. He would come down to my uncle and aunties and visit. And I knew he was my father, but he was just a stranger, more or less. And a lot of times I would see him when we visited the Bailettis, and he'd take me to the zoo, and I remember that. But as far as living with him, that was... So I said, no, I wasn't going to go. So my father at the time decided that he's going to take my uncle to court. And all I remember about the court, because there was no legal adoption in those, well, they didn't do anything like that then. My uncle just assumed that he was going to look after me and that was it. And what happened was they went to court, and all I remember in the court was this big confusion, and I was out the front and I just started to cry that I said I didn't want to go and live with him and this and that. So apparently... the lawyer that we had at the time told my uncle and auntie, which he had this woman that lived, there was an Australian woman that lived on Frogmore Road, her name was Rini, and she did a lot of the interpreting for all the Italians. She was a very nice lady. She married this Italian and they were living on Frogmore Road. And he said, look, he said, don't go home tonight, don't go come home, stay in the city, because he said your father is going to, he's going to go down to pick up his daughter. So we stayed in the city, and at that time there, my father came down with his lawyer, which was an Italian was an Italian man that lived near the Bailettis, and he came down to pick me up. And I remember there was Nidlo and Dino, his name was Angelo Piovesan, Nidlo, Dino and Bruno's father, which, you know, with my uncle, they lived next door. And he said to my father, he said, Secondo's not here. He said, and what are you doing here, coming to pick up your daughter? And he said, aren't you ashamed of yourself? He said, the Tonelados have looked after her up till now. You come back from Alice Springs, and what do? Want to take her away to live where? In a boarding house? And I think my father, and I think Angelo said at that time, he said, if you don't get off this land, I'll shoot you. But just a figure of speech sort of thing. And I think my father at the time felt embarrassed, and the lawyer that he had with him, which was someone that, like, the whole family knew, everyone knew everyone at the time, and they just ticked off, and that was it. And from then on, I never really kept in contact with my father or my brothers, you know. And then I think the next time that I did see my father was when my brother got married, that I got an invitation with my uncle and auntie, and I went to the wedding with my uncle and auntie, and that was quite a few years later. I remember it was about 12 or 13 at the time. And then when I grew up and I had my 21st birthday, I invited my father to come to my 21st birthday. I had a party. My uncle and auntie gave me a party. But I just got no recollection much of him, you know. And then I just remember that my brother's wife one day rang me up and said, you know, your father is very sick and he's dying in hospital. And I did go and visit, but it was just to go and see this poor old man, you know. That's the only feeling that I had towards him, you know.
Because mm-hmm. You really had felt like that Secondo and Elizabeth,
that's right,
were your
that's
parents.
Right, yes. But I did keep in touch with my auntie Bailetti. She would, I have the feeling that my father, because my auntie Bailetti had all boys, she didn't have a girl. I think what she wanted to do was, she probably said to her brother, go and get your daughter and I'll raise her as my own. And, but you know, when you're 7 or 8, to get taken away from one family to a family of, which they were really, in a way, strangers, because it was something that was like someone that you'd see once a week, once a month, or, you know, that's how it was at the time, you know.
Mm-hmm. So life then went on for
yes,
you
so
in
life
the Tonelato
yes,
family.
Yes. So I think that was the last time I saw my father was when I had my 20, because when I got married, I asked him to my wedding and he didn't come. So that was the end of that episode. Mm-hmm. But I did keep in contact with one of my stepbrothers, Oreste, which he lived not very far from here. And the last few years, we sort of kept in touch, you know, and there was quite a few things that before he died, we had a very long conversation, and there was a lot of things that he didn't know what was going on with his father at the time, how there was a court case, because he was away in the, was during the war, and he was away in the army, and he didn't know all of this, you know. But that was was the end of that episode. So I grew up a Tonelato, really, you know.
Yeah, and you grew up as the child, obviously love child in a family where
that's right.
The
yes.
market gardening
yes.
was the
yes.
main work.
And my uncle, I would call him uncle, and my auntie, I would call her mum. And a lot of people thought it was strange, you know, probably thought that my uncle had remarried, or my mother remarried or something to that extent, you know, because I knew I had a father, and though I don't ever remember calling him dad or anything like that, but I'd always call my uncle, but because I never knew my mother, I always used to call my auntie mum, you know. So that was a little bit confusing there.
And what do you remember about the market gardening, you know, being a little girl growing up on the market
garden? Well, the market garden at the time, I remember that, they used to, my brothers and sister, Rosina didn't, yeah, she worked in the garden too. Well, they worked very hard. They had all these glass houses, and I remember they used to get up early in the morning and then go to market, and Mum would be busy cooking. They'd have cook for lunch and cook on the old wooden stove. There was no turning on the gas or the electric stove or anything like that. And it was just, it was work. And our Sundays, we used to, like I said, go visiting. And then as I grew a little bit old, I think I did about a year in the market garden, picked tomato, beans and everything like that.
Were they the main crops that were growing?
Well, they mainly had glass houses. I think they would have had about 25 glass houses, something like that. They used to grow tomatoes and beans in the glass house. And then they'd grow vegetables out. We used to grow potatoes. And I don't remember, maybe cauliflowers and cabbages. I'm not very sure about that, you know. But I know the main crop was the tomatoes and the beans that were grown in the glass out, and the potatoes. When the potato season was on, they used to plant the potatoes outside. And this was all virtually, or mainly it was all along Frogmore Road that they had the glass houses. But like I said before, there was no way from where we lived, it was closer for us to get out to the Findon Road, because we'd have a dirt track that was my uncle sealed with gravel so that he could go up and down, you know, when with a truck and that, when they'd go to market. And the Frogmore Road, it was all just dirt tracks that belonged to the garden.
And what did the land look like, you know, as you were growing up? What do you remember around you?
All I remember is there was all these dirt roads that would lead into the glass houses, pardon me, and all boxthorn hedges, plenty of boxthorn hedges and bamboo fences. They used to build these, they used to grow these bamboo hedges to block off the wind a lot of times, you know, when they'd grow like beans or vegetable crops outside, and they'd have these all fences of bamboos. But it was just very bare, you know, only where we were living, and there was maybe one or two houses that I remember on Findon Road. Frogmore Road, I don't remember. I remember Reenie's house.
What was Reenie's surname?
Destro. Yeah, right. Reenie Destro.
So she'd married an Italian man?
Yes, yes.
Would that have been unusual in those days?
Well, I suppose it would have been. I just remember her there, and I remember she was the only one that had the phone. And any phone calls, everyone went to her place for a phone call. You know, I mean, I don't really know that much about her. All I know is that she had two daughters, and that they had these beautiful dolls with a pram. And eventually she gave one to me, doll, and I think she gave one to Connie when her daughters grew up.
Connie Marchioro.
Yes, that's right. I think she did. I'm not even sure about it. I know that I got the doll and the pram that I treated like it was, you know, gold in those days. But no, I can't remember too much about Reenie.
And did you say to me that she spoke Italian?
I'm not sure.
Did she do some interpreting, did you say?
Yes, but I don't know if she spoke it. I can't remember that. But my uncle knew a bit of English, and then I suppose, you know, the boys and Rosina knew English because they went to school here, so they would all communicate with her, you know. But
did you speak English when you went to school?
I don't think. I'm not even sure. I think I spoke a little bit. I think that, let me think now. Yes, I think I did, because with Mum we always spoke Italian. Well, dialect, that is, and with the Nino and Nana, we always used to speak in English. Yes, I did speak English. Yes, yes, I did. I remember speaking English when we went to school, and not with Mum. With Mum, it was always the dialect. You know, she didn't learn much English. My uncle knew a little bit speaking, I think, by going to the market and, you know, dealing with the that sort of thing.
And the dialect was Trevisani?
Yes, that's right. We all spoke. But now that I recall, I did speak English. I didn't have trouble speaking English when I went to school. I didn't have that problem. And all the friends that were around, we all spoke the dialect, and then we spoke English between us, like, because some of the were a little bit older, some of our friends, and they were going to school, so they were speaking English, and so that was the younger days anyway.
You would have been quite young when your brothers and sister got married.
Yes.
Can you remember?
Yes, I remember. Rosina was the first one to get married, and it was just on my 8th birthday, I think. And she got married that, I think the war had just finished. Now, she got married in 1945, and I was a little flower girl. And in those days when anyone got married, they used to, mainly everyone got married at Highmarsh Sacred Heart Church, and they didn't have permit to drink beer in what they call the hall. So they'd go to the Highmarsh Town Hall then, and they'd just have soft drinks and lemonade and sandwiches, and then they'd all come back to the house, which is the shed, really. We called it the shed where they used to grade tomatoes, and they'd have the keg of beer, and that was the wedding, you know. And Rosina got married in 45, and I think I was 8 then. And Louis and Albert got married in 47. They got married 2 years later. So they were really young. I was still young when they got married. And then we were left with Nino and Nano.
And was the family still living in the carriage, or as people called it, the vagone?
Yes. We were until the 60s, early 60s, or maybe, yes, that because when Nano got married, I think they were still living in, yes, they were still, Mum and my uncle were still living in the Vagong, and when Nino got married, he started to build a house here on the land, and then I think afterwards it was only my Mum and uncle and me left. But we weren't living in the Vagong then. The Vagong was still there, but we were living in... The Piovesons moved out, so my uncle and auntie occupied their section of what they were really milking sheds, and we all lived like he turned it into a kitchen and a bedroom, and I had my bedroom. It was quite nice, you know, it was... But we didn't have much to do with the Vagong anymore.
And what was the Vagong used for?
Well, then afterwards, my uncle was just there, and then at that time you got a lot of these Italian migrants that used to come over, and they all used to live in there till they found places that they wanted to live, and so my uncle used to rent it out, and he built onto it that they'd have like a little kitchenette, and they would sleep in the actual carriage, and added on was like a little veranda type of thing, and they do their own cooking. So they had all these single men living there, and they were all like boarders, you know, living in the, cooking their own meals and everything. And then we'd be living, my uncle occupied all the shed that where the Piovesons lived, and turned that into a bedroom and a laundry, and that was quite nice. It was quite livable. And I think my uncle and auntie lived there till 1960 something, and then he built the house on Frogmore Road.
Right. And in the Vagone, how many, you know, single men could be there at one time?
About 4, 5 maybe. But then there was another couple that came from Italy, and they just needed a room and a place to cook, and it was husband and wife, and they had a son, and then there was another family with a husband and wife and a son, and then it just got destroyed somehow, because when there was nobody living there, just destroyed by vandals really, and it was a pity really. It should have been kept, you know, because it was really beautiful to carriage that should have been looked after. But, you know, in those times you just didn't worry about these sort of things, you know.
And I was interested in asking you a little bit more about your schooling, because we talked about that, how you went to St. Joseph's at Hindmarsh.
Yes.
And then how many years would you have had there?
Well, there, they used to go then, it was for first year, second year, and then intermediate, I think it was in those years. And I did up to intermediate, but I didn't finish intermediate. And I liked school while I was at Flinders Park at Underdale then. But once I went, changed school, I was never really happy there. You know, maybe I didn't have my friends there or whatever. But then I just left there, and Mum said, oh, you have to be a dressmaker, because in those years, you know, all the girls had to be dressmakers. And I think I went to learn dressmaking when I left school, but I wasn't interested in that either.
Where would you have gone to do that?
I think there was North Terrace or Grenfell Street, that they used to teach you how to draft patterns, but I wasn't interested at all. And I remember I only went for about 2 or 3 months.
And what would your mum have said about that?
She wasn't very happy about it. You know, everyone has to learn how to sew, and no, I wasn't interested in it. And what happened then, what was it? And I stayed home for a little while, and then I went to work in a grocery shop, which at the time it was one of the, a Virginia Santon. She married an Oscar Matiaso that had a grocery shop at Croydon. And we used to go to work there. It was like, in those days, grocery shops used to make deliveries. The owner of the shop or the employees would go around to the houses, pick up all their orders for their groceries, and then they'd make the delivery. And it was quite a big shop. They had a grocery and a deli and a fruit and veg all in one.
Where was it? In Croydon?
At Croydon, at Torrens Road.
Ah.
Yes.
And who was the people, who was the family who had that?
Well, Oscar Matiaso had it, and his auntie was the one that had this grocery shop in Hindley Street. And when he married one of the Santon girls, which is where Rosina married into, she married the Louis Santon, and they had this shop. So I was only young then, I was about 17. They asked me if I wanted to work in this, which is a sort of like a mini mart these days, you know, only there was no self-service. Everyone had to be served. Everything had to be weighed up, sugar, flour, you know, there was none of this packet stuff. And I worked there for quite a few years.
And would the customers have been mainly Italian?
No. There was no Italian customers, maybe one or two that I remember on Torrens Road there. And at that time there, though, a lot of Italians that lived around here, and Nidlo Pioverson at the time, he was working there too. So he would come around here and pick up all the grocery orders for most of the Italian families. And then the following day or the day after, he would deliver it. But as far as customers coming into the shop, they were mainly Australians.
Ah, and how would you have got from Frogmore Road?
Bike. We used to ride our bikes. We used to ride our bikes down Grange Road, down East Avenue, and then down Rosetta Street. We used to go down the subway road there, and then on Torrens Road. And then afterwards, I think somehow Romildo and Clara Santon went into the business, and they had a little utility, and then they would pick me up because we all lived close by. But the first few years we all used to ride our bike, come wind and rain, you know, it was all bike riding then.
And how many people would have worked there?
Oh, I think at one stage you had about 6 people, if I remember. It was fairly big business then. You know, it was him and his wife and 2 or 3 in the grocery shop, and then the delicatessen, which was all one, and it was quite a big shop, and they catered for quite a few people there.
Mm. And what would you have done in your social life at that time?
Well, social life was going down the beach on weekends, and we'd go to the beach, wouldn't go in the water because we would have our hair done and we couldn't get it wet.
Is this so, with your friends?
Yes, that's a friend. We used to go with Connie McChottle. We used to go to the beach, And then Sunday nights we'd go dancing at St. Patrick's or the Cathedral, which St. Patrick's Church at the time had a little hall next to it, and so did the Cathedral. So one Sunday they'd have a dance at St. Patrick's, and then the next Sunday was one at the Cathedral. 10 o'clock was closing time, so everyone was home by 10:30.
And how would you have got there?
Well, I used to have either a Nino or Nano used to take me, used to pick Connie up, or if when I started to go with Tina, another friend of mine, so we'd go, they'd pick us up. They'd take us there, and then they'd come and pick us up.
And this is when they're married?
Yes, this is when they're married, because then they'd go, I think Nino at the time would go and see his wife's family, and then on the way back they'd stop and pick us up.
Because they wouldn't have wanted you to have been out and about by
yourself? No, no, no. Oh, 10:30, you know, that was really late in those days. And that was our social life. And we used to go to the beach. Our beach, we used to go, when I was little, I remember every summer, school holidays, we'd go down the beach, Henley Beach it was in those days, and Mum would pack a roast chicken and we'd all sit under the jetty. And this is like when I was a teenager and still going to school. And we'd spend the whole day at the beach because in those days there was no air, we didn't have air conditioning. And my uncle and the boys, they'd work in the garden. Then at night they'd come down to the beach and we'd all sit with a blanket eating our roast chickens. And a whole lot of the families would meet under this jetty because that's where all the ladies would go with their children when it was hot, you know. And then the men, when they finished work, would just come there and, you know, at night and have their supper. And I remember that Henley Beach was, under the jetty, was all Italians in those days.
Community.
Yeah, real community.
So in you're working in the grocery for a couple of years?
I think I was about, I think I was about 24, 25, something like that, because then I remember my uncle said he was going to Italy. That was the first time that he went back since he arrived here.
And that what was, year would that have been?
That would have been 1960, 61, something like that. I remember that at the time there that they shot President Kennedy. So what year was that?
I can't remember exactly,
but early 60s. Yeah, I think it was the beginning of the 60s, 61. And we went to Italy, and I visited my auntie in Italy.
And you went with your uncle?
Yes.
Just you?
Yes, just you, me and my uncle. My auntie didn't want to come. Mum didn't want to come.
And was it a really big thing for your uncle to be going back for the first time?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So he'd arrived in 19...
27 and went back in 19... I think it was 61, the year, if I remember rightly. 60.
What were your impressions?
Well,
could you say where you went in Italy?
Yes, we went to see my auntie that lived at the Caselli. Well, she lived at Fossalunga at the time,
and this is in the Veneto.
This is in the Veneto. This is not very far from Castelfranco, and because her son, I only had the one auntie there in Italy. Most of my uncle and aunties were. One other auntie was in Canada and the other two uncles were in Canada, but I only had the one auntie there. And my uncle caught up with his sister. She was a little bit older than him, so she would have been, he came back, he went there, he was 70, I think, and she was a little bit older, and she was living with her son in not very far from Castelfranco or Fossalunga. Her husband had died years earlier. And so we went to visit. We went to see the Caselli, where, you know, my family came from, and we went to Treviso, Castelfranco, and I quite enjoyed it because my uncle there bought a car, and I could drive. So you know, we got to around to see all the little places around the Veneto region, and then we went to another place. While we were there, I said to my uncle, well, we'll travel around, and we went to see my sister-in-law's family that lived in the Trento. And that was quite an experience. The mountains in the Trento mean nothing compared to Mount Lofty here, you know, the high mountains. And then from there, we did a bit of a tour around the Italian Riviera. that was beautiful, the Riviera there and the Italian, like, it was quite good there. And we just had a look around and then we came back and...
And what do you remember about meeting your relatives?
Well, my auntie said, oh, you look just like your mother. And she said, you might be a little bit taller. And it was quite interesting. My auntie was little. I didn't imagine her like that. She weighed about 6 stones and she was little, but she was very active for her age. She was always on the go. And she was very glad to see my uncle because she hadn't seen him since he came to Australia. But they kept in contact with letters, but, you know, letters in those days used to take months to arrive. And But she was very happy to see us. And then I met my cousins there, and there was 3 girls, I think, and 1 boy. And we stayed with my cousin and his wife, and she had 3 daughters and a son at the time, and we stayed there.
And did you meet any of your father's relatives?
No. We went there to Italy for... we went there to their town for some reason. I can't remember what it was. But no, I don't think that we met actually the relatives of my father, but someone that knew my auntie Bailetti and her husband, but no brothers or sisters or anything on my father's side. I don't remember that we went to any of that.
And how long would you have been away for?
We travelled by ship. We left in February, and I think we come back September, October. It was quite a while. Yeah, it was quite a while. Because don't forget, it was a month going over and a month coming back, you know.
And what was that experience
like? Oh, I loved it. It was beautiful.
The first time away from home?
Yes, yes. I love the boat. Sea travel, I'd love it. You know, that would be my ideal holiday, you know. Not planes, I'd rather get, you know, go. Not the QE2 anymore, but if I won a lottery, that's what I'd go in, one of these beautiful big boats. No, I like that. It was really good. And that was quite an experience because the boat used to stop in the ports on the way to Italy, you know. And then I met a cousin of mine that lived at Genoa when we arrived in the port there. And she lived in the city there in Genoa. I think we stayed a week with her because her husband was a tailor. And he made me this beautiful coat, you know, real tailor-made, you know. Well, he said, what I'll do, I'll measure you up, and when you go back to Australia, I'll have the coat ready, because he had all my measurements. Going to take a while to make. And my cousin there took me around Genoa, saw the, you know, the touristy place there. I rather liked that. It was very old, but it was something different to the like the little paesies that where we went to stay after.
How interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And when you came back, do you remember what it was like, say, for your uncle and you to be telling your mother and brothers and sister?
Yes, my mum was very interested, you know, how was everyone over there, and I always used to kid my auntie in Italy that my mother used to wear makeup and have her hair done, and she just couldn't believe it, you know. She said, oh no, she said, your auntie would never, you know, like modern up, you know. But no, it was very interesting. And then what happened after that? We came back, and then I think my uncle built this house on... Yeah, that's right, he built the house on Frogmore Road then, and then we went to live there.
And did you continue working at the grocer's?
No, I left there. I think they sold the business even before I went away. The business was sold. I can't actually remember that part, but I left there couple of years, I think, before we went to Italy. And I think I worked in the glass houses then, maybe 6 months a year I worked. I helped Nino and Nana. We used to pick tomatoes, pick beans, and because they weren't married at the time. I know, yes, Nino was married. So was Nana. Yeah, he must have been married. Yes, before we went. Yes, he was married before we went to Italy. They were both married.
And were they living here on Frogmore Road also?
Yes. They built a house on Frogmore Road, and they used to make their own bricks. They were cement bricks, And weekends, when they knew they were getting married, they'd make these bricks, cement bricks, and they built the house, which one of the Nunnell's sons still has the house now, and it's all been modernised up, you know. But they were married. Yeah, they built the house, and they lived together in the house. One had one half of the house, and the other one had the other half. So.
And they had glass houses together?
Yes, they used to work together, like Nino and Orlando Nunnell. They used to work together with my uncle at the time. And then I think Nino, he left and he went to Two Worlds because he couldn't work the glass houses anymore. He had a bad back. And it was just my uncle with Nunnell working, like when we went to Italy at that stage. Now, I left the shop, grocery shop there, would have been a year or two maybe before, maybe a year, I'm not quite sure. But I did work in the glass houses for a year, helping them.
And did you go to market?
Yes, I did when I was little. Ah. When I was little, at school holidays, when I was about 10 or 12, I used to get up 4 o'clock in the morning, go with a truck. And I remember we'd go with a truck and we'd go to the East End Market there and sell all the produce there. And then we'd go to the other end of Rundle Street, which is today, yeah, it's still called Rundle Street, isn't it? Yeah, Rundle Street. And when it was about 7 or 8 o'clock, we'd go and my uncle would have a pasty, and that was a big deal for me to eat, you know, early in the morning, a pasty or chips or bacon and eggs, you know. And all the growers there used to, after a certain time, they used to all go and have their breakfast in the same places, and they would communicate. But I used to go quite a few times to the market. Maybe sometimes I'd just sleep in the truck and I'd get a bit bored, but I used to go just because I knew afterwards we'd go for breakfast, you know, and that was a big deal then.
And returning to when you came back from Italy and you worked in the glass house, and you continued on with your social life, going to the dances on
Sunday?
Yeah,
I think that when we came back from Italy, I don't think I worked too long in the glass houses. Then I got a job at the airport. A friend of mine said that his wife was working there at the time and if I was interested in going. So I went there and applied for a job, and I worked there at the airport. Yes, at that time there. Now, I had another friend, and we used to, Norma and Pam and Joyce, and we all, our big outings were Saturday night to go to the pictures in the city then, and we'd go out for tea, then we'd go to the shopper session they used to have. They used to have about 5 o'clock or something, and we'd go to the pictures first, or we'd go for tea first and then go to the pictures. That was our outing, you know, on the... That was when we were a little bit older then, but still, you know, you had to be in early, you know, none of this 11 o'clock, midnight was the latest.
And in the airport, it must have been the early days of the Adelaide Airport.
It was very early days.
And what were you doing?
That was a kiosk, and at that time there it was like a type of a snack bar, and I think the airport at the time was opened not very long ago here, the West Beach Airport, and I worked there for years until I retired. But then I saw big changes there, you know, when they remodeled the airport, and I never actually worked in the new airport. It was still always the old airport, and that's where I stayed, like I said, till I retired.
In a particular time, you met Angelo Giovannini.
Yes, yes.
Can you tell me about that?
Yes, that was... Now, where did I meet him? Oh, yes. It was at a... they used to have sometimes these church functions, and they used to raise money, I think, to build the new church here at Glen Eagles, or something to that do. And I used to know Angelo from when we used to go to the beach. I used to see him. Like, everybody sort of knew one another, but we never really were that friendly. You know, you'd say, hello, how are you? And that was it. And then one day, Connie, she was married at the time, and she saw Angelo in Hindley Street. And he asked her about, because Connie and I were always together at the dance. I used to see him at the dance at St. Patrick's, the cathedral. And he said, oh, is that little friend of yours married? And she said, no. And she said, I'll introduce you. And so Connie said, oh, she said, I've got someone that, you know, is quite interested. Forget about it. I don't want these introductions, you know. But anyway, then I met Angelo at this one of these church functions and we started to talk. And I said, oh, you know, at that time, St. Patrick's wasn't going anymore, the cathedral, the dance there. And then we started going out and I think within a year we were married.
And what year was that?
68. 1968.
Right. And where did you live when you first married?
Well, when we first married, I lived with my mum and uncle because they just built the new house there on Frogmore Road. And then I lived there for a couple of years, and then this house where I'm living now came available. Like where we're living here was all market gardens, and then a builder brought up and built all these spec homes. And so I thought, well, this is a chance, you know, to buy a house in the area, and this is where we've been since, living since.
Mm. And it's interesting that you have, you know, that you were raised not terribly far from here.
No, I remember this going down the next street, that would have been the dirt track that used to come to our place, you know, that was, we used to have these bamboo tracks that used to come straight through where, which would be the end of this street, but this street's got a dead end. But then if I go a bit further on the right there, that would have been the actual dirt track that came to our place. And as children, that's where we'd come down this dirt track from the Findon Road, you know, to get to home.
Mm. And the road that you live on is called Carlo Avenue.
Yeah, Carlo Street. Yeah.
Carlo Street, yeah. Yeah. And Assunta, if you can think of the ways that this area has changed, what would be the most significant things for you?
Oh, I think the housing. So many housing in such a short time, you know, because I always remember that when we'd visit people, you'd be always crossing over market gardens, you know, you'd be, it's just the housing that how that just sprung up so quickly and so much where there's just none of these blocks that, you know, everyone used to have their own chicken and their own little veggie patch, and now it's the, you know, the traditional quarter acre block, and once it wasn't like that. Once it's just you know, your neighbour wasn't next door, your neighbour was, you know, a couple of acres down the road sort of thing. Mm. That's what I find, you know, that's a big change. Frogmore Road, I mean, it's just when you think of it, years ago it was just there was, as far as I know, it was only two houses. I mean, they're still there, and it was just a dirt track with bamboo hedges and box-thorn hedges. I don't think any trucks used to go down that road, or maybe when they had trucks to go to market or something, they might have.
So very big changes.
Very big changes.
In your lifetime.
Yes, very big changes. Yes.
Well, thank you very much for the interview and for sharing your story with me.
That's quite all right.